Hey, welcome back to another episode of Life Sculptors. I'm your host, Dante Poole, and I know I say this every time, but I'm telling you, I mean it every time. I really am excited about this episode's read. Oh man, it is The Magical Yet, and there are so many nuggets that, man, so let's just get into it because it's so good. It's so good. It's The Magical Yet by Angela DeTerlizzi. Angela DeTerlizzi. Man. There are days when your dreams haven't come true. When you're upset by the things you can't do. If you've lost or failed or cried just a bit. You're tired of waiting and ready to quit. Like that shiny new bike you couldn't ride, and it didn't matter how hard you tried. You couldn't pedal, and you couldn't steer, and you couldn't get that bike into gear. Then when you thought you were on the right track, you popped a wheelie and fell on your back. And now you won't ride. No way, not ever. No riding for you. You'll walk forever. Don't give up now. There's a major game changer, a most amazing thought rearranger, someone to show you how good you can get. Now introducing The Magical Yet. With this yet's magic, you can begin to see that you're going beyond where you've been. There's so many things that you've learned to do when you didn't know the yet was with you. Like when you babbled before you could talk, or how you crawled before you could walk. Yet's a dreamer, a schemer, a hoper, a trier, a maker, a doer, a gotta fly higher. This yet finds a way, even when you don't, and yet knows you will when you think you won't. Like that shiny new bike that you couldn't ride. Hop right back on with Yet by your side. Yet doesn't mind warm-ups, fixes, and flops, do-overs, redos, stumbles, and stops. Yet knows there's mistakes, some big and some small. With Yet, you're sure to get over them all. Play the kazoo or play the bassoon. Jam with the Yet and you'll soon be in tune. Try skateboarding tricks like the Ollie Hill flip. This yet will get to the championship. Tongue twisters twisted, your tongue in a knot. Yet says keep trying and practice a lot. Be patient. Yet can't do it all overnight. Some things take days, months, or years to get right. But if you keep leaping, dreaming, wishing, waiting, learning, trying, missing. With a yet as your guide along the way, you'll do all the things you couldn't do today. Now you're bolder, braver, and starting to see. With yet, you can get where you want to be. Finally, you did it. You knew you could. You're not just riding. You're getting quite good. But don't stop now. You've got so much to do. The good news is, this yet grows with you. So no matter how big or old you may get, you'll never outgrow, you'll never forget. You can always believe in the magic of yet. The end. Man. What are you waiting for? Like sometimes we are waiting and wanting something to happen, and it just seems like everyone else around us is getting it done without much effort. Like they make it look so effortless and quick, and it just drives us mad because we're just wanting it to happen now. Like, and when you let your emotions lead your instead of your determination, you end up quitting out of frustration. And if you're not careful, you will apply a permanent solution to a temporary problem. Like you will make a decision to end something that you should be persisting in. Sometimes it's easier to quit than it is to wait. But the long-term cost is not just simple. Like, the long-term cost of quitting is just more waiting because you're prolonging the inevitable. And so what may have only taken you a year, 10 years later, you're looking back with regret saying, I probably should have persisted. We're talking about patience here. Like, patience is such an important part of our lives. And so let's think about this. What is patience, and why does it seem to elude us? Like, patience, one definition says it's the ability to accept delay. It's the ability to wait and to continue doing something despite difficulties. It's to suffer without complaining. It's to deal with the difficulty without becoming annoyed. I love this definition. It is manifesting forbearance. What? Manifesting forbearance under provocation or strain. Like, that's a highfalutin definition, but let's break that down. To manifest forbearance, it means that I refrain from the enforcement of something that is due me. Forbearance. It's that something is due, and I stop expecting it to be due at the time that it is going to be due. It means that it's that I make a determination that although it's due, I'm going to wait. It's thinking things through so that I don't expect something that might be rightfully due me. But I'm not going to let the frustration and the difficulty of something get in the way. I'm going to wait. I'm not going to get impulsive. I'm going to remain steadfast despite the oppositions, the difficulties, the adversities. I am going to stay the course. Oh, we know about patience. We know what it's like to be impatient too. Like, think about this. Like an example that really is just so true to us is waiting in line. You know, it was funny because our issue with waiting in line started way back in elementary school. We have watched kids fight about who's going to be first in line. Like, they'll be in line going from their classroom to, say, to the cafeteria. And they will get into an all-out brawl over who's going to be first in line, as if when we get to the cafeteria, they're going to run out of food. As a matter of fact, what's really bananas to me is that they're carrying their lunch. They brought a lunch from home. And so getting to the cafeteria first really doesn't matter. They have assigned seats at the cafeteria, and still they struggle with it. But we are not far from them. If you're ever in line at their grocery store, and somebody's at the register making their transition, and it seems to be taking a lot longer than you anticipated, you'll get impatient. Oh, yes. Yeah, like, and don't let, oh, And don't let other people get in another line and exit faster than you. Oh, that just sends your meter up like, man, maybe I got in the wrong line. I should have been over there. If I had just gone. And sometimes you switch lines, hoping that that line is shorter. And then you look over and the person that you were in front of is exiting before you. You just feel like screaming. Oh, and don't let the mother with children be in front of you, and those kids are just all over the place, and you're like, oh my gosh. Unless you're that mother with those kids, because you two are like, oh my gosh, could y'all hurry up so I can get these kids up out of here? And don't let there have to be a price check. Like, you just go bonkers. Like, didn't you know that that thing didn't have a price tag on it? And why didn't you pick up the other one? Can you tell I've been there, right? And you just have this whole internal dialogue, and you're taking deep breaths, and you're sighing. You're going, oh, my gosh. Impatience is when something exceeds the amount of patience that I originally allocated to a thing. You do know we do that, right? We allocate patience. Like, this is going to take me this much time to get done. And when it takes longer than what I anticipated, I get impatient. And let me tell you what's at the core of our impatience. What's at the core of our impatience is entitlement. Yep, I said it. Entitlement. It's at the very core of impatience, because it's us saying, I am owed this. I deserve this. I have a right to this. It's that the rules don't apply to me. I must be first. You owe me is the attitude, because it means I should have special treatment. And impatience is, it's a psychological posturing of superiority. It's a psychological posturing of superiority, in that we believe we should not have to wait for something to happen for us. Oh, my goodness. And the world we're living in right now, oh, it has conditioned us. As a matter of fact, the algorithm of our lives right now has conditioned us to believe that things should happen for us sooner and more quickly than is beneficial to us. I said it, and I'll say it again. The algorithm of our lives has us believing that things should happen quicker for us, even though it may not be beneficial to us. Just because you have a right to something doesn't mean that it's beneficial to you. It may be beneficial to someone else, but that doesn't mean that it will benefit you or have the same result for you. And so our impatience, it can lead to conflict and frustration and unhappiness and disappointment and depression even. It can affect our ability to problem solve, to work with others. On the WebMD website, that they talk about a cycle of entitlement. I love this thinking. This cycle of entitlement says that I get impatient because I have a history of unmet expectations. Like, I believe that if it doesn't happen quickly, then it may not happen at all. And then that triggers in me impatience, right? It because I have unmet expectations that lead to negative emotions. I get angry. I have a sense of being cheated out of something because it doesn't happen the way, or I'm dissatisfied. And then that leads to me fixing my emotions and fixing my feelings by reassuring myself that I deserve this thing that I wanted, which ultimately reinforces the psychological posture of entitlement. Y'all, oh my gosh. How we navigate patience has to do with our orientation about how we believe life ought to go. That's what psychological posturing is. It is our orientation. It is the way our thinking and our believing, like they have a direction that they're pointed towards. We have a belief about how we think life ought to go. We have expectations. And our impatience is not just an issue of entitlement, but it's also an issue of dependency. We don't like depending on others because it opens us up to vulnerability. Sometimes we are compensating for issues of our childhood where the significant adults in our lives were not responsive to our needs as they could have been, and it somehow impacted our own healthy development. When I'm in a relationship with someone, we share, this is a legal term, fiduciary responsibility to each other. That's my word for the day, fiduciary. It means to hold confidence, to it's founded on trust. And so we were relying on the adults in our lives to meet our needs. And when someone doesn't uphold their end of fiduciary responsibility, then we begin to adopt this mindset that I can't depend on anybody else. That the only person I can depend on is myself. What a lie. You can't even get gas in your car unless someone else has put that gas, that fuel in the tank in the ground at the gas station, that somebody has to own the gas station and open up the pumps and set up a way for you to even pay for your gas before you can get it. Like somebody else had to pave the road that you drive on. Somebody else stocks the food on the shelves in the grocery stores, and some farmer grows it, and some plant processes it. Somebody does something to help you accomplish what you can't do by yourself. You live in a world where you are reliant on other people. And so what we really begin to try to exercise when we take on this mindset of I can't trust anybody but myself is we like having a sense of agency or the ability to exert my own power to accomplish things. Here's another word for the day, volition. Volition, it's the act of choosing and then the power to choose to do something. It's will. It's will. And so when my orientation is I can't depend on anybody but myself, I have a tendency to become more impatient because my orientation is towards me. But when my orientation is towards others, then I am more apt to be patient. We become impatient with life when we feel like we deserve reimbursement of fate. In other words, that somehow our life owes us for all the things we've been through. We get impatient because we think life owes us something. And so when you're being impatient, you're not experiencing freedom because you're being held hostage. You're being controlled by your emotions and you're being held hostage by what you're waiting for. See, the byproduct of patience is peace and freedom. And so we got to shift the way we're thinking about this. We got to shift our thinking so that it becomes more effectual in our lives. We have to get our thought rearranged, as the book says. We have to get our thought rearranged. We have to shift from not ever to not yet. This requires a reorientation, a subtle rearranging of the focus of our thoughts and beliefs. And sometimes we're going to need somebody else to run an intervention on our stinking thinking, on our beliefs that are getting in the way of us being oriented right. We need other people to intervene because they have to remind us of our potential. They have to remind us of the possibilities of ourselves. And they're not just telling us what we don't know. That really what they're doing is they're reminding us of what we already know. Like what you... And here's the thing. What you've already tried is not the end of the journey. Like your history is not the measurement of your future possibilities. We get so stuck looking back at what happened then and what somebody else had done or what they didn't do or how somebody else let us down or how I tried and it didn't work out that we imprison ourselves with not ever thinking. Just because I couldn't doesn't mean I can't or never will be able to. You need me to say that again, don't you? Yes, I know you do. Just because I couldn't doesn't mean I can't or that I will never be able to. You couldn't talk when you were born. You couldn't walk. You couldn't run. You couldn't write. You couldn't read. You couldn't do math. You couldn't drive. You couldn't do a lot of things, but didn't mean that you couldn't, that you can't, should I say, or that you were never going to be able to do it. Yet has potential. It is potent because it's forward facing. But yet is, here's what the book says. I loved it. I'm going to quote the book. It says, yet finds a way even when you don't, and yet knows you will when you think you won't. I love this book because yet then is pregnant with the possibilities and hope. Hope is the midwife to your dreams, to the birthing of your dreams. Hope is a midwife to your dreams. Not only that, yet is potent, but yet is also calling us to get on the same page with our process. All of us are in a process of growing. We are practicing for progress, not for perfection. And progress is never overnight, right? Progress is not an overnight sensation. And it makes me raise the question, will you give yourself permission to wait the assigned and necessary amount of time to prepare you to occupy the dream with integrity and authenticity? And the capacity to handle the responsibility that comes with it. Will you give yourself permission to stay in the process? And what if you stopped trying to make everything perfect? What if you stopped trying not to make mistakes so that you could access the lessons that only mistakes can teach. Yeah, that part. Yet is also progressive. See, we often settle for good enough because we won't commit to what it takes to make it really good. Y'all, the goal isn't to just get it done. The goal is to become better at it. It's not just to get it done right. It's to get it done great. And when we accomplish something, it opens us up to the possibility that await us on the other side of our achievement. We need patience. We need to think about whether or not we are operating from a place of entitlement or maybe the expectations of other people have let us down. I'm just telling you, we got to do something about this. So, author Brittany Josie is writing in one of her blogs, and she says this: patience is not waiting. It's understanding. Yes, like, right? Like, patience is not waiting. It's understanding. Like, when I come to understand what's really happening here, when I understand myself and I access and I execute better self-regulation, I don't get so impulsive and want to quit. I don't get caught in the cycle of entitlement. I don't get like, you remember that old cartoon with Bugs Bunny and Daffy Duck? And Bugs would be doing something and Daffy would get impatient and he would pound Bugs into the ground and he would be going, mine. Daffy Duck is the epitome of impatience and entitlement. We have got to do a better job of understanding ourselves so that we operate in the place of freedom and peace that patience offers. Okay. Listen, I can only encourage you to like, share, comment even, and subscribe. Somebody else needs this conversation about patience, and I'm inviting them into it. This is Life Sculptors Podcast. And remember, you are enough.